So, Father, as we come to your word, we know that it would be arrogant of us to think that we can work things out and understand your word without your help. So we ask for your help. We ask that your Holy Spirit would take your word and apply it to our hearts, in my heart as well. And thank you for how your word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Thank you for how your word is living and able to do things that no other book can. And I thank you for your Spirit who wrote your word and for his ministry to us now. And thank you, Lord, for whether we're in the Old Testament or New Testament, we thank you for how we see your glorious character and we see lessons of faith. And of course, we see glimpses of Jesus. So we just thank you for what we're going to look at. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 15. That's what we're up to. We'll be actually looking at the whole chapter. It's not a long chapter. And we will also be spending some time on one verse in Genesis chapter 15, namely verse 6, which is actually quoted in the New Testament a number of times, and we'll find out about that. The Apostle Paul loved to talk about Genesis 15, verse 6, because it's connected to a wonderful gospel truth. But I want to begin by just doing a little summary. It's been a while since we looked at Abraham. So just a quick summary about what we've seen. So Abraham was living in a city called Haran, which is sort of like in modern-day Turkey area. And he was called by God to leave his family. His dad had just died, to leave his family and to travel 800 kilometres, according to Google, all the way to Canaan, which ends up becoming Israel. So would you do it or not, eh? Well, God called him. And what's so lovely is he, by faith, it is by faith, he obeyed God and went. And there's a good verse in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, verse 8, that says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going, because he hadn't been there before. He's going into a strange land with strange people. And he could have been fearful, he could have had all these things happening, but he still went. And we saw in the first half of Genesis chapter 12, it was all good in that first half of Genesis 12. He heard God's call, by faith he obeyed. As he went, God blessed him, and what did he end up doing? Building an altar, and he worshipped the Lord. And I told you how that's a wonderful, beautiful pattern to get into. Hear God's call, obey him by faith. He will bless you and you won't be able to do anything but worship him. And you know what's really good? You can make that cycle work every day of your life. When you wake up, good morning, Lord. What would you have me do today? Listen to his voice. Obey his call and you'll be blessed. That's how it's meant to work. We're not very good at it though. That's because we often have our own agendas. Okay, so all that was good, but that second half of Genesis 12, this is just how the Bible is, it's just raw as, Abraham goes from a man of great faith to a man of no faith. Do you remember this? No faith. I mean, what's going on here? So listen to the word fear that comes out. He's in Canaan, and there is a drought, and he fears for his life that he might starve. So without consulting God, oh, that's the mistake. He ends up going down to Egypt because the river Nile flows through Egypt and they've got green grass there. So he goes there. Then he gets there and he realises, gee whiz, my wife is pretty beautiful and they might knock me off. I'm fearful that they might knock me off and take my wife to be their wife. So he says to Sarah, just say that you're my sister. All right? So that's not good for marriage situation, I reckon. So that's what happens, and someone does take Sarah. It's the king of Egypt who takes Sarah to be his wife. This is not good. This is an important lesson. Don't do your own thing. Listen to God. Have faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. But I don't know how this is. God is incredible. He sees the situation. Abraham has lost his wife. But God intervenes and brings Sarah out of the clutches of Pharaoh and reunites Sarah with Abraham, and they ended up leaving Egypt and going to Canaan. Nobody dies in the story, that's good. And the marriage is still intact. I reckon there would have been a lot of talking though. Oh, I know. All right, and the verse that I think of is the one from Psalm 37. There's a few verses like this, but Psalm 37 about God, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And when he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds him with his hand. So we mess it up. We fall, but God, isn't it amazing? Surely it is, that God should care for us enough to pick us up when we fall. And that's what he did to Abraham. All right, and then a few more quick things. Genesis chapter 13, we get into that chapter, and we see Abraham is walking by faith. Yay! He's walking by faith. So good things are going to happen, right? So as he's walking by faith, we looked at three big R words. The first thing he does, he goes back to Bethel, where he came to from Haran. And he renews, he renews his vows of commitment to God. That's always a good thing to do. One of my friends recently recommitted his life to Jesus. And it's not something you have to, we should be doing it all the time, really. Surely you know that we mess it up a fair bit, and it's so good to renew our commitment to Christ. And Abraham did that. And then the next thing I noticed that relationships now matter because he's right with God. And so, he's right with Sarah, but also his nephew was with him, Lot, and there was trouble brewing. And Abraham did some wonderful things to make sure that no tension developed between him and his nephew Lot. You know, good, because relationships matter. And then in Genesis 13, you get this wonderful picture of Abraham. He's just under the oaks of Mamre, and he is resting in the shade of these trees because he's walking by faith. When you walk by faith, there is a rest that comes to your soul. But Lot, his nephew, is not walking by faith. He's walking by sight. He went where the grass is greener, which is in the Jordan Valley. He ended up being in Sodom. Not a good place to be. He's not at rest. He is restless because of the wickedness of that place. So what an important contrast comes out in Genesis 13. And then in Genesis 14, we see how Lot is taken captive by the superpower of the time. And Abraham is still walking by faith. Yeah, that's good. And Abraham, with faith, has courage to take on the superpower with his little army. No way. It's like a David and Goliath story. And so he goes and he knocks them off. It's miraculous. And he rescues Lot and brings everything back. And then the next thing that's amazing is that he comes and he meets this person called Melchizedek. Alright. Now he's just a strange character. Melchizedek. So in the book of Hebrews, we are told that he was a person who had no genealogy, no beginning or end of days. And Melchizedek means king of righteousness. He is the king of Salem, which means king of peace. He is the king of Jerusalem. And it's like, it's got all these features about him that you just can't help. I think, is this a pre-incarnation of Jesus? I reckon it is. And he blesses Abraham, and Abraham gives a tenth of all his possessions to him. So he's someone great. And isn't it interesting, if it is Jesus, Jesus was making entrances into our world before he was born as a human being. He met Abraham, he met Joshua, he met Hagar. He's coming into our world already. I don't reckon he could help himself to come in and help us in all our crazy messes. And so here he comes, Melchizedek. And in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is likened to Melchizedek, a priest forever. All right, so that's now we're up to Genesis 15. Seems a long time ago, that's why I went through it. So tonight we're going to be looking at Abraham, Abraham's reward, and Abraham's righteousness. So this is Genesis 15. And I want to start off, before I look at Genesis 15, by reading to you a beautiful verse in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and it's verse 6. Verse 6, and it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." That's a great verse, isn't it? God is well pleased when we have faith in him. So I look at our world right now. There are so many atheists. And there's so many people following their own ways and their own gods and everything. God is really pleased when we are switched on and we believe in him, the true and living God. He's pleased. That means there's a smile on God's face. He's so delighted when you believe that he is real, that he exists, the one God, the one true God of heaven and earth. I want you to know that. He's really pleased with you when, besides all the rubbish out there, you choose to believe in the one true God. As Paul would put it, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, God is well pleased in Hebrews 11:6 when we come to him, when we know that this God is approachable. We can come to him and know him. And of course, in the New Testament, that's through Jesus. Through Jesus. But what about that last bit of Hebrews 11 verse 6? There's a promise. And it says, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who seek him. So if you believe in him and you seek him, God says that he will reward you. What about that? It's not like neutral. God will reward you. And the reason I wanted to quote from Hebrews 11:6 is that's exactly what I find in the life of Abraham. This principle, even though that's a New Testament verse, was operating way back in the Old Testament as well. So we're going to see now how Abraham did pursue God. He had faith in the true God and God rewarded him. So let's now read Genesis chapter 15 verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Of course, his name is still Abram, even though I'm saying the word Abraham. His name was changed later on, but it's the same person. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Hear that? So, Abraham has the reward of God being his shield. God would shield him and protect him. And he even did that in Egypt when he messed things up. That king could have wiped him out, but he wasn't wiped out. And so God promised Abraham, "I'll be a shield to you, I'll protect you and keep you, and your reward will be very great." Not just great, very great. And why is that? All because of his faith in God. God, you cannot outdo God. If you put him first, he will bless you. That's how it works. He loves to do that. So when I think about Abraham, what kind of reward did he have? Well, let's keep reading. Verses 2 to 5 of Genesis 15. Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." That's reward, eh? So what God is saying to you, because of your faith, I'm going to reward you. Yeah, you're about 80 years of age, but that's okay. You're going to have descendants. And you're going to have so many descendants, they're going to be like the stars of the sky. That many. Wow. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So this reward is not something that Abraham earned or even deserved. But it's something that God would give him because of his faith and God's grace. So that's what a lovely blessing. And then in Genesis 15 verse 7, we read further. And God said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." So that's another part of the reward. You're going to get this land, the whole land, from the river Euphrates to the Wadi of Egypt, from the Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. So that's a pretty big gift as well. That's pretty good land, and God is giving it to Abraham. This is the reward by faith. So I want to now pause and tell you all, that if we are in Jesus, if we trust in Jesus, Friends, we have, because of our faith in Christ, a very great reward too. Different to Abraham, but we have a very great reward. Do you understand that? Like, it's massive. Like, where do you begin to describe it? I've got a few verses. Maybe this will help us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Or another way to put it, God has given you everything, more than you can imagine. That's how blessed you are, because of your faith in Jesus, my Son. That's incredible. Like, how do you unpack that? Sometimes it just makes me feel speechless. All right. Or even Jesus. He's going through the Beatitudes, telling us how we should behave. You know, being peacemakers and being humble and being merciful and all that. And then he says in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me." Then he says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus is telling us, your reward in heaven is great. Even if they persecute you, you're so blessed, you're so rewarded. So let me give a bit of a nutshell in regards to our rewards. Well, our reward in Christ, bigger than Abraham's, our reward is, just think of all this, full pardon from all your sins, past, present and future. All because of faith, that faith reward, your faith in Christ, forgiven absolutely, including the future ones you're going to commit. Wow. Not only that, you are a precious child of God, adopted into his family. You have full rights as sons and daughters of God. You're the apple of God's eye because of that. Man, that's incredible. I was a rat bag before. Now God loves me and I'm part of his family. Wow. What a reward. By faith. And then you just keep going. You go, you think of how heaven is my home. Not here, but heaven. What a reward. And one day I'm going to be walking the streets of gold. Forget about that. I'm going to be with Jesus and God the Father. What a reward. And not in the outer blocks of heaven, right around the throne. Even closer than the angels. That's how it's going to be. And we get to live forever in God's presence. And the reward includes a new body. Fantastic, because this body is getting older. I've got to be careful what I do these days. I get injured and sore. Are we going to get new bodies? You're going to have, imagine our brains. Our new brains will just be unbelievable and comprehending so much more than how it is now. And I'm going to throw in a few more verses. Our reward, I forgot about these ones. Our reward isn't just to do with the future. Our reward includes things right now. You have God's peace and God's contentment and God's joy to fill your heart right now if you choose to walk by faith. And you have God's blessing on your life, his protection. Nothing can happen to you unless it's God's will. But what about these ones? Romans 8, 16 and 17. It says there, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." Now when I look at a verse like that, I go, oh man, a fellow or joint heir with Christ. What does Christ own? The whole universe. Well, you're going to be owning it with him. Now why has God done that? I don't know. That's incredibly powerful and rich, isn't it, that reward? And then I think of this other one. What's our position? Our reward in having our faith in Christ is, our position is higher than the angels. So there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 that says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Wow! Our reward, because of our faith in Christ, puts us in a position higher than the angels. Some reward, what do you reckon? So this is this thing about faith. Faith in God, faith in Christ, that results in very great reward. Something that's not earned or deserved, but given by God as a reward of our faith. And I want to keep reading a little bit more now of Genesis 15. I'm going to read now verses 8 to 16, and we're going to see something else. We're going to see how part of Abraham's great reward is this revelation that's given to him. And as a Christian, I'm conscious of that too. Part of my great reward in Christ is having God show me, reveal to me more and more about him and this reward we have in Christ. So let's read Genesis 15, 8 to 16. And it says there, Abraham said, O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess, that is, this land? So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. So then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. Wow! What's that about? God is telling Abraham his will. Abram, you're going to be going to Egypt. He doesn't say that, but that's what's going to happen. And you're going to be there, your descendants will be there for 400 years. Look at God sharing with Abram the future about the things that are going to happen. That's a great reward too, to be included in God's plans. God wants to share it with us. In Ephesians chapter 1, you get Paul talking about that, how God has been so pleased to share with us, his children, his plans, his purposes, his will for you. He's wanted to disclose it to you. This is part of your reward in Christ, to know. Not to be blind and unaware of what's to come. All right, so keep reading. But verse 14 says, but I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. That's what happened. And verse 15, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. So even that's amazing. The reason why Israel couldn't go into Canaan and take that land yet is because God was giving them time to repent. 400 years. And they didn't. And Israel was now going to come into the land and take that land after a long time. But I just love how God is sharing with Abraham his will. This is part of the glorious reward that God gives us. And just finishing this chapter, it came about, in verse 17, it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite and the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzite and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusites. All those people, that land you're going to have. What a great reward. But don't forget, no matter how big this reward is that Abraham got, our reward in Christ is bigger. Amen. It is. So be delighted in that. How do you get that reward? By faith. And for us, as we live in this period of time, it's by faith. We have to be very specific. By faith in Christ. By faith in Christ's Son. Now, did you notice I missed a verse? Oh, I missed verse 6. Because verse 6 is like, that just needs a special attention of its own. So, let's have a look at verse 6. So, verse 6, there's something more precious that faith gives us. And it's all in verse 6 of Genesis 15. And it says, then he, that's Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it or credited it to him as righteousness. Now that's the biggest thing of all. When we have faith in God and faith in Christ, God credits to our account righteousness. And what's all that about? Why is this a big verse? Why does Paul quote this verse quite often in his letters in the New Testament? Why? Because this is a huge thing in the Gospels. All right. So let's have a look at this. First of all, God. God is declared righteous because he is righteous. He's perfect. He never mucks up, never sins, never does anything dodgy. There is no darkness in him. He is this blinding light. He's absolutely pure and radiant. And I love that. Do you? I love how our God is just incredible in beauty. He is absolutely righteous through and through in his being. But me, I am not. I am not righteous. I, like the rest of us, sin, thinking wrong thoughts or saying wrong things or doing hurtful things or all sorts of things that I am prone to. We're all prone to. We sin and we are not righteous. We know that. We don't need anybody to tell us that. We know. I am not righteous. So what is so amazing when I read this verse, which is what Paul gets excited about, is where God is saying, well, if you put your faith in me, I am going to declare you to be righteous, even though I know you've sinned. How can that be? How can God declare us to be righteous when he knows everything, he knows we've messed up and we are not righteous? Well, God has been pleased to declare us righteous if we put our faith in him, all because of what God has done for us in Christ. Now, Abraham didn't know this yet, but God had an incredible plan where he would declare us to be righteous. He would make us righteous before him, that is, right with him. Righteous means being right with God. God would make this happen through what he would do for us in Jesus. It's so exciting, this, to comprehend it. There's no way that I should be called righteous, but I can through Christ. And so let's have a look at now the New Testament, where these things are brought out. I'm going to read Romans 4, first of all, verses 1 to 5. And I want to see how the Apostle Paul uses Genesis 15, verse 6 in Romans 4, 1 to 5. So Romans 4, verses 1 to 5. So he goes, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Paul's quoting that verse. Keep going. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Okay, so here's this incredible principle. By faith, God is willing to declare you righteous, as if you've never sinned. You're right with God, all by your faith. That's what Abraham discovered. That's what's true for us in Christ. But Romans 4, Paul is using the example of Abraham. But Romans 3 is where you get to see how we can be declared righteous. Got to read this, right? So Romans chapter 3, magnificent passage. We'll just read verses 21 to 26. Romans 3, 21 to 26. And don't forget, before I read it, most of us grow up thinking we're right with God if we live a good enough life. We're right with God if we go to church. We're right with God if we don't get thrown into prison. And we don't realise that's just all rubbish. We've all messed up. None of us are righteous. Not even one. Not even one person is righteous. We're all in trouble with God. So what we read now is incredible. This is the God who we will stand before one day. He declares to us through his word, through the Apostle Paul, Romans 3, 21 to 26, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all wrecked. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but are justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed, and for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. All right, so that's a lot of good doctrine there. Can I summarise it? You can't be righteous by obeying the law, because every time we try and obey the law, we mess up the law. You know, the law says don't covet, and we covet. It's like kids, you know, we're like kids. Get told don't do it, and we do it. So none of us are going to be made righteous by following the law. But Paul said, praise God, there's another way to be made righteous. You can be made righteous as a gift from God, as a gracious gift from God, if you put your faith in Jesus. And the reason why that works is because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He paid for our sins so that our sins can be forgiven. And that means our sins are dealt with, and God can say, right, because of that, you are now declared righteous. Because my son's taken the price and the penalty. He's taken your sins off you, you're now righteous. This is a gift you receive when you put your faith in Christ. How beautiful it is to be able to stand before the holy God who sees right through me and sees, He knows the truth about me and the sins I've committed, and yet He's able to say, Ian, you are righteous because you've put your faith in my son Jesus. You're clean. I declare you righteous. Home. Welcome home. You're my child. It's a most magnificent thing. And this is special to me because I remember as a young person growing up in church, and I just heard all the time that I had to be this good person and I had to do this and I had to do that if I was going to go to heaven. The gospel wasn't really being preached. I didn't understand how it all worked. So I was overjoyed when that great burden was taken off me and I realized I don't get to heaven on my own efforts. Jesus has done it for me. And my Father in heaven, who loves me to bits, is able to say, you're forgiven. You're righteous because of your faith in my son. But that great principle goes all the way back to Abraham. That's why Paul quotes it. Paul knows his Bible and he remembers reading that verse 6 of Genesis 15, and then he believed in the Lord. That means he believed that the Lord exists, and he believed in the Lord's word. That's important to pick up. He believed that the Lord existed, and he believed in God's word to him. And then God said, on the basis of his faith, he credited it to him as righteousness. And that's the same with us. It's not just I am to believe in a God. I'm to believe in God and what he has said about his son and what his son has done for me. When I put my faith in that, then I am declared righteous. So I hope you are declared righteous, that you are right with God because you've put your faith in what God has declared about his son and what his son has done for you. Well, so from Abraham, we've looked at Abraham's reward and his righteousness all by faith. And I can rejoice in the Lord. We have a very great reward and we have a righteousness with God by faith in Christ. By faith in Christ. Okay. So that's up to Genesis 15 now. Moving along with Abraham's life. We're going to see Genesis 16 next week, God willing. And we'll see it goes from really good times to not so good again. Humans come into the story. They make some decisions that are not good. You can have a little pre-read if you want during the week. But isn't that a lesson to us? Abraham's life feels like, seems like a little bit of a roller coaster. Oh yeah, I can relate to that. Going good? Not going good. Am I a Christian? I'm not sure if I'm a Christian now. I know. Gee whiz. Humans. And God still loves us. Okay. Well, I'm just going to ask the Lord to bless what we've looked at tonight. And if anyone isn't there yet, you know, feel free to approach me. It's so important that we understand what it means to be declared righteous. For God to declare you to be right with Him through putting your faith in Jesus. So let me pray. Our Father, thank you for how you have made it really simple and very easy for us to be right with you. And we're so glad it's not to do with human effort, because we have all messed up. So thank you for that. Thank you that you have given it as a gift, this righteousness, through all because of what Jesus has done for us. And we know that in making us righteous, that's something that you've given us by your grace, according to your incredible love, and how good it is to be right with you. I thank you, Lord, that you can even look at my future sins, our future sins, and even all those sins have all been dealt once and for all by Jesus when he died for us. I thank you, Lord, our salvation is secure, that our righteous standing with you doesn't alter. And I pray for any of us who aren't there yet, including the young people on camp, that you would help them to be declared righteous as they put their faith in Jesus. Thank you now for how we're going to have a time of communion. And it's nice to have communion after what we've looked at. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time of communion as we remember Jesus and how he did secure our salvation and our right standing with you because of what he did. So I pray now you bless this to us, this communion time. In Jesus' name, amen.